Welcome to LifePoint Church. Thanks so much for being a part of our service today. Whether you're watching online, you're live in the room, or you're watching this on demand somewhere around the world, we want to say a big welcome to you. LifePoint, can we say what's up to our whole church family today? Come on, everybody. Even if you're watching online, say what up to the screens. Come on, everybody. And do me a favor, no matter where you're watching from, even in the room, please grab your smartphone and share the link to this message. Come on, invite people to your church service today. You can invite them on your Facebook, on your Twitter page, on your MySpace if you need to. That'd be great. If you're new with us, I'd love for you to just text the letters LPC to the number 31996. If you've never texted one of these kind of services before, just go in the number field, text 31996, type in the numbers, and then just simply type in the subject LPC, and we're going to send you a very quick text back, which will give you a link to just connect with us. We promise not to harass you. We just want to be connected with you and give you some simple next steps. Everybody's next step, I'm going to tell you, is one of just a few things. Number one, if you're new to our church or if you've not gotten connected to LifePoint, we want to invite you to our Next Steps class, appropriately named, right? And that's where you connect to our membership process. That's where you can discover how God's wired you and how you can fit and serve and be a part of the team here at LifePoint Church. And then from there, we want to enlist you into our dream team. We think it's God's plan and God's will that every follower of Jesus serve Jesus by serving others. Now, everyone who serves on a team says amen. Everyone who sits on their butt all the time is going, we should move on from this. I'm not going to. I am more convinced about the kingdom of heaven than ever before. And I'm telling you, I think as Christians in this country in particular, I can't speak for any country, we've gotten so just complacent and lazy and just sit on our hands kind of Christianity in every area. So I'm just going to push you because I love you. Come on, Pastor, push me, everybody. Amen. So it is God's plan for you to serve him by serving others. And we want to help you take that next step. So if you've not gone through our Next Steps class, you can do it in the room or in our building here, or you can do it online. And then everybody in our church, everybody say everybody. No, come on, say it with some soul. Say everybody. Say that means me. Say that means me. I got one friend in the whole room right now. Everybody who said yes to Jesus has enlisted into the plan of Jesus. You didn't just sign up to go to heaven. You enlisted to live like you belong to heaven. And the plan of God is the people of God participate in the work of God. And I'm telling you, it is God's will that every follower of Jesus follow the great commission of Jesus, which is to make disciples of all people. How many of you know somebody who doesn't follow Jesus? How many of you know somebody that's not a follower of Christ? That's why they're in your life. Because God says that you get to help them get to know Jesus. You say, well, I don't know enough Bible. I don't know enough about God. I don't either, and you guys let me do it every week. Are you kidding me? I don't know enough Bible. I don't know enough truth. I don't know enough. God is mysterious in so many ways to me, and yet you still let me lead you. If God will use me, if God will use Peter, God will use you. We are relaunching our church starting next week to be a church of small groups. First, that's the biggest thing we want to do here. It's the best thing we do here. And we are asking and encouraging and enlisting every one of you to become small group hosts. Now, you don't have to be a theologian to simply invite people to a conversation about Christ. So we're starting a new series next Sunday called Guardrails. And it's a six-week series. Every week after the sermon, you can get on our website and we will have all that you need to host a conversation about that message. It's very simple. Just get on the website, whether it's on your phone, your tablet, your laptop, your PC, Lord help you, you know, whatever, Android device, I'm sorry, but listen, they make Apple iPhones too. But anyway, get on your device, log into our website, and there's a 10-minute video that leads to discussion, and then there's a few questions. And listen, we want everyone in our church to feel the call of God and the burden of responsibility to do the great commission of Jesus. Here's what I've just realized during COVID. You know, COVID knocked every church out of its building. And yet, the Church of Jesus Christ, I believe, is becoming more and more alive than ever before. What it's done is a lot of, like, fringe Christians or people who have, like, signed up for the T-shirt but didn't sign up for the lifestyle, you know what I'm saying? Some of those folks may have drifted off in this season, but believers and followers of Christ, we're sensing an urgency. Can I tell you, we're living in perilous times and crazy days, and the gospel of Jesus Christ has to be known in this world. If anyone's going to have hope and healing and joy and eternal life, it's going to come through the church. And so what I've realized in this season, COVID's closed every church in America for a season. I've got pastors in California who still can't have church yet. And yet, Christians are still commissioned by Jesus Christ to make disciples. You think Jesus is sitting in heaven and going, well, let's just pause the Great Commission until they can comfortably sit in their buildings again. So I just realized, I had a moment during this COVID season where I just realized, you know what? God's gonna hold me accountable as the pastor of LifePoint as to whether or not I've done all I can to equip you to do the work of ministry. And the greatest work you can do is tell your neighbor, your enemy, your friend, your kids about this glorious gospel of Jesus. Paul says in Acts chapter 20, he said, nothing in the world matters to me except telling every person I meet about the glorious grace of Jesus. Can I tell you, nothing else matters more than your children serving Christ, your family knowing the Lord, your neighbors getting to hear about Christ. So we are reorienting our church to where every one of you is enlisted as a small group host. You go, it's not my gifting. Yes, it is. Look, if you're passionate about some football team and you love telling others about it, if you're passionate about your job and your skill set and being a woodsmith or a carpenter or a leather person or a mason, if you're passionate about anything and able to tell anyone else about your passion, you should be more passionate about Jesus and willing to tell somebody about him. So we're going to help you. And I know I feel like I'm yelling, but I already told you I was going to offend you. It don't hurt my feelings. I got to live this thing out too. I got to look my wife in the face every time I preach this stuff and go, I really hope I'm living this out. So we're going to encourage you. We're going to help you. This Guardrail series is designed to help move our church to become a small groups church. And I think whether it's you and your family, you and your neighbors, you and your cul-de-sac, you and your coworkers, look, think of your break room friends. Anybody got break room friends at work? You know what I'm talking about? Like you got them three friends that y'all always sit together on Tuesday eating snacks out of the vending machine because you didn't pack your lunch. Man, I am the ultimate like scrounger in the staff lounge up here. I'm forever looking in the fridge for eggs from Sunday that got left by Friday. I'm still eating them. I don't care. I never pack a lunch. I forget. But just grab your break room friends and say, hey, for the next 6 weeks, would you have a conversation with me? I don't even know what I'm doing. But my pastor's asked us to have a conversation about Jesus for the next 6 weeks. I don't believe in Jesus. I know, that's why I invited you. Well, who do you think you are? Nobody. I'm just a follower of Christ, and he's asked us to do this, so I'm doing it. Amen, everyone. So you'll have it on our website. I'm going to encourage you, everybody, don't even pray about it. You know, let me pray and think and blah, blah, blah. That's Christian code speak for no. So we're in the last sermon in our Jesus Speaks series. Have y'all gotten anything out of this parable series so far? Come on, everybody. First week, we talked about the parable of the talents. Parable of the talents, everything you have, God's given you. Everything you don't have, he hasn't given you yet. And everything you have, you're responsible to do something for him. So how are you stewarding your life, your influence, your finances, your family, everything you have? Think about it. How are you stewarding everything you have in a way that honors Jesus? Second week, last week, Pastor Jordan, man, crushed it. Parable of forgiveness, unforgiving servant. I mean, if you went out of here last week going, I wish I didn't come to church today. I'll tell you what, you know, in my line of work as a pastor, that is one of the greatest issues that we face. So many of us are living with trauma or bad decisions or family problems, and in the mix of that always is unforgiveness. Some of us can't overcome lifestyle choices or addictions or patterns of behavior because of a root of bitterness and an unforgiveness that's maybe even from our childhood. And I'm telling you something, when you're living with unforgiveness in your family, in your marriage, that is a cancer in your house. And so thank you, Pastor Jordan, for an incredible message. By the way, his family needs your prayer and support. Their whole family in Iowa, like everyone in their family had damage and devastation due to that big storm that hit Iowa last week. And I mean, hundreds of thousands of people without power there. And so we're gonna be a support to them. We wanna send a team to Iowa to help with cleanup in the next 2 weeks. If that's something that's on your heart, we'd love for you to be a part of that. So Pastor Jordan, we're praying for you and your family. And thank you for a great word last week. I'm gonna finish this series today with a look at the parable of the treasure hidden in the field. Now, this is probably the shortest parable of all the parables of Jesus. Since you brought a Bible, go ahead and turn with me in Matthew 13. I'm gonna read it first, and then we're gonna talk about it. And I'm gonna get my preach on in a minute. I brought my jacket to be a little bit more dignified, but I don't know if it's gonna work. Matthew 13, verse 44 reads very simply, the kingdom of heaven be like. Come on, how many of you know Jesus is always teaching what it's like to be a part of his kingdom? 37 times in these parables, he's trying to introduce us to another kingdom, another way. Think of every kingdom you love, right? The kingdom of your politics, the kingdom of your race, the kingdom of your nationality, the kingdom of your financial security, whatever kingdom you think you belong to. Listen to what Jesus said. My kingdom's different. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Anybody remember being a kid, treasure maps, like wanting one and just believing that pirate treasure was real? And like, golly, how cool would it be to find a treasure map one day in the back of the library of your elementary school and no one knew it was there and you're on this long treasure hunt around your backyard? I remember thinking, like, how cool would it be to find a treasure map? Nobody else, okay. Kingdom of Heaven's like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found or a person finds and covers it up. Why does he cover it up? It was already hidden. He goes to cover it up because why? Then in his joy, notice not out of his pressure or his anxiety or his religious compulsion, but in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has so he can buy the field. He didn't just go buy a shovel to steal from this field. He went and bought the field so that he could have the treasure contained within it. Father, would you speak to us from this parable? What a powerful word. Help us know if we've pursued the right treasure in Jesus' name. Man, I love this passage. I've been studying the parables for a couple years. In fact, I told you two weeks ago, I've got a book coming out. We're just working on the final parts of the edits for that with a great publishing house, Zondervan Publishing. And the title of the book is called Parable Church and how the teachings of Jesus in these parables shape the culture of our faith, particularly how the teachings of Jesus, he's introducing his kingdom and what it's like and why don't we reflect his kingdom more? How many of you know when Jesus said, this is what my kingdom's like, we should be willing to say, okay, then that's what I want my life to be like. He's king in his kingdom and we're not, right? So I've been studying the parables for the past couple of years, specifically looking about how Jesus uses parables to introduce another way of life, another way of thinking, another way of believing. And he uses these short stories, these parables or analogies to show us that living in his kingdom is different. I don't know about you, but if this were my kingdom and I found a treasure hidden in my neighbor's field, I'm gonna steal it. I'm just being honest. I'm gonna borrow it. I'm gonna be like, I don't think the neighbor sees this right here, so I'm just gonna, like, you ever ask the question, what would you do if you went to a gas station and saw a stack of $100 bills? Some of y'all be like, I found my $100 bills. That's how we would treat a treasure. We found this massive treasure hidden in a field and we'd be trying to hustle to figure out ways to get into it. This parable reminds me of my grandfather. We call in the South, we call grandma and grandpa, what do we call them? Mama and papa, right? Come on now. So my papa, Clyde Newell, born and raised in the southwest part of Mississippi, specifically born and raised in a town near Jackson called Brookhaven. Even more specifically, he grew up in a rural area outside of Brookhaven. They called Hominy Ridge, Mississippi. Now, both of my grandparents on my mom's side are from this small area near Jackson. And I don't know much about Hominy Ridge, but I remember my grandfather loved talking about Hominy Ridge. He was drafted to fight in World War II in the 40s, seriously injured in his first assignment in India. He was on the back of a train, and the caboose conductor and the engine, they fell asleep. They didn't switch the tracks. Another train came and crashed into them. And he was flown left for dead in a field for days, and they found him, and he never actually overcame his war injuries from World War II. He ended up moving back to Brookhaven. He was months and months, I think over a year, in the hospital there in Calcutta, India, and then other Army hospitals along the way back home. But he returns to Brookhaven, Mississippi, where he grew up, and he began to work. And because of his love for the family land, my papaw ended up, their family lived on like a couple hundred acres of this area called Hominy Ridge. Well, he wasn't able to purchase the land, but what he did do is he started asking questions about what's under the ground. And my grandfather, years ago, went and purchased the mineral rights to like 220 acres of Hominy Ridge, Mississippi. And to this day, our family owns all the mineral rights under that ground. Now, we ain't found them, or else I'd been driving something different. You know what I'm saying? Like, this church would be paid for. I'd be rolling out of here with communion cups and $10 bills every time y'all leave. I'd be like, God bless you. God bless you. You know what I'm saying? We ain't found nothing. But we own the rights to everything under the ground on this 220 acres as a family. There are a couple of oil derricks there. In fact, if y'all remember a couple years ago when the oil spill happened in the Gulf of Mexico, y'all remember that? It was pretty tragic. Some oil company came to our family and said, okay, we got to start digging in the ground, in inland, not just in the Gulf. And so they paid our family, none of it went to me, but they paid my grandmother, because she's the rightful owner, and my mom and my aunt, cash money to go and just dig around and try to find oil in the ground. My grandfather knew there was something in the ground that was valuable. Now, the parable doesn't work out because he didn't buy all the land. He just bought the mineral rights, which is kind of a dirtbaggy thing to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, can you imagine later being an owner saying, I want to build here, and you got to get approval from the mineral rights guy to do it. But anyway, nonetheless, the story's great. It's not a perfect comparison, but move on. Let me just ask you something. Have you ever sold out for something? Like for my grandfather, it cost him money to go buy the rights of land he didn't even live on anymore. He moved to New Orleans in the 50s. But he owned the rights to below the ground. There was a treasure hidden in Hominy Ridge for my grandfather that was worth so much that he saved, invested, and bought the rights to what was underground. Have you ever sold out for anything at that level? Have you ever thrown everything into an investment that was so worthy that you're like, this may never strike out in my lifetime, but it's worth it for the next life, for my family, for those after me. Like, have you ever sold out at that level for anything? Have you ever cashed in one area in order to go all in another? Have you ever heard the term sellout? At some level, we all sell out. We all go all in for something. Maybe it's your favorite sports team or a university you love to follow, or maybe it's some stock investment or a career that you say, I'm going to give my life to this thing. Some of us cash in our whole lives so we can pursue a dream or some major ambition. Some of us cash in our integrity. We cash in relationships that matter. Some of us cash in health. But we cash in for something. Others of us go in for unhealthy things too. Like we trade in all the good relationships in our lives with our family and our friends growing up in order to get entangled in one bad relationship that we can't seem to get out of. Or we trade in what we know we should do in order to do what we shouldn't do, living in some sinful lifestyle. Maybe you've cashed in that way. You sold out to an area of sin in your life. Addiction is one of these things, right? Depending on how far we spiral, we can trade in our health, resources, family, all relationships that matter in order to feed our addiction. It's a sellout. But this parable is so blunt to me that God's kingdom is the greatest trade you'll ever make. That being a part of the heavenly kingdom, that being a part of the family of faith is the greatest trade you'll ever sell out for. It's the most valuable trade you'll ever be a part of. And belonging to heaven, belonging to God's family is not about what you can do to earn it or keep it, but there is a cost to belonging. Jesus said it'll cost you everything. Look at the parable again. In his joy, he went and sold everything. Some of us have never experienced Christianity with joy. Some of us only know Christianity with pressure and religious angst and how dare you live this way and you think you're a Christian and you think you're that and by God, what kind of believer do you think you are? Some of us don't know Christianity without hellfire and brimstone. But the kingdom of heaven is one that in joy, I will gladly give away everything I have to push in with Jesus. Think about Peter when he's called to follow Christ. We looked at this, the first message of the Peter series. On the day of the greatest harvest of his fishing career, he left it all gladly and followed Christ. Levi, the tax collector, sitting in a tax booth, stepped away from that booth and followed Jesus. Nicodemus in John 3 was told, hey, you got to leave that life and come follow me. The woman caught in adultery, leave that life, follow me. Sell it all, trade it all, enjoy, follow Christ. Judas's biggest problem was that he refused to sell out in order to be bought in. And that's sometimes our greatest problem too. We want to be bought in, but we refuse to sell out. We want to go all in with Jesus, but we still want a piece of this other kingdom, don't we? But this parable teaches us another way. And I'm going to start by looking at this conversation, and I want to explore what it's like to cash it all in for Jesus. Take a closer look at this parable and see what it means to make his kingdom the highest priority in our lives. The first thing we got to realize is the kingdom of heaven is the greatest treasure. There's no better way to live. There's no, people say, Christianity is so boring. I don't know what Christianity you're talking about. I'm having the most fun I've ever had in my entire life. I love living for Christ. I love serving Christ. I love living for Jesus. I love his people. I love what God's called me to do. There's no other way I can imagine living. I can't imagine addiction. I don't want to be in some other kingdom. I want to serve the King of Kings. How many of you know in the kingdom of heaven, there's one king. His name is Jesus, and he is a great king to follow. And the kingdom of heaven. Now listen, I'm going to start preaching. Don't shout me down unless you're come on now. Matthew 13:44, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. When's the last time you treasured your walk with Jesus? We just want Jesus to be an add-on to the things we treasure. We want Jesus to be the add-on, the blessing to the life of addiction or bondage or ambition or pursuit that we really treasure. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but I really love this sports team. Man, I've seen for years, and I'm not one to berate sports fans and football fans, but listen, I wish some of y'all would get as turnt up for Jesus as you get for your favorite football team. I wish we'd get as turned up for Jesus as we would about the stock market. I wish we'd get as turned on for Jesus as we would about our favorite political candidate. My Lord, can we put a sign in the yard for King Jesus instead of the next candidate for president? Can we live our lives as a sign for who we truly follow instead of who we're voting for the next season? Now, I'm not saying abolish the kingdoms of this world. We need to vote and pray and do all that. But listen, those aren't my kings. I don't care who's elected. I'm going to serve King Jesus. And if that elected person costs me my life, I'm going to serve King Jesus. Man, this is the greatest treasure ever. And Jesus constantly talked about the kingdom of heaven. That's all he preached about. It's all he talked about. It's all he lived for. It's all he showed us. He never took the kingdom off. Think about this. Everywhere Jesus walked, the full weight of heaven walked with him. Can you imagine rolling to the grocery store with Jesus? I mean, all of heaven went to the grocery store today. Can you imagine going to the lake today? Oh, we're going to go down and have a swimming day with Jesus. You ain't swimming with Jesus. You floating, walking. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but everywhere he went, heaven went with him. You know why? Because he's the king of that kingdom. Jesus never took his kingship off. Jesus never took the kingdom off of him. In Matthew 4, the gospel writer says that Jesus went all over the cities and villages around the Sea of Galilee, preaching and proclaiming and announcing the good news that there's another way of life. There's another kingdom. It's called the kingdom of God. Never before in human history has this announcement been so pronounced and so obvious. Prophets talked about it ahead of time, but Jesus came as the fulfillment of and the proclamation and the announcement forever that there's a new kingdom and I'm here to bring it into pass. Multiple times in the Gospels, we see Jesus talking about the good news of the kingdom of God. Honestly, if you read the Gospels through this filter, you'll see pretty much everything he talked about was introducing and infusing his kingship over ours. He preached about life in the kingdom. He healed because he is the king, and in his kingdom there's healing. He raised the dead because in his kingdom death has no reign. He forgave sins because only the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has the power to forgive you. And he forgave sins because he's the king of his kingdom. People questioned his ability to forgive sins. He said, well, to prove to you that I have the authority to forgive sin, I'll heal you too. Shut your mouth. Tried to kill him for it. Can't kill a king when he ain't ready to go down. The kingdom of God is the greatest treasure there is. But do you treasure it? No other kingdom is a treasure like the eternal, everlasting, all-powerful, Christ-centered kingdom reign of Almighty God. The kingdom of America, the kingdom of Canada, the kingdom of Mexico, the kingdom of the Roman Empire, the kingdom of the British Empire, the Ottoman Empire, no kingdom is like the kingdom of heaven. Every kingdom of man will fall. Some of us, that's so sobering, it strikes fear in us. I'm not afraid for any kingdom of man to fall around me because I know my security is in the fact that I belong to the king of all kings. He's the king of every president. He's the king over every priest, prophet, pastor. He's the king over every monarchy ever. The kingdom of heaven is the greatest treasure there is. And when I know the value of that treasure, it sure does lower the value and importance of every other kingdom, doesn't it? Now look, we live in this kingdom. Jesus said, you will have trouble in this world. But behold, I've overcome this world because I'm the king of it all. Hallelujah. The kingdom of heaven, or better you understood, the kingdom of God. Listen, this is very clear. This is the clearest way I know how to say it. I learned this from my first pastor. The kingdom of God is where God is king and we're not. The kingdom of God is where God is king and we're not, and it's the greatest treasure. It's where Christ reigns and rules. It's where lost people are saved from their sin. People aren't saved in any other kingdom. It's where people are delivered from their sinful lifestyles. People aren't delivered in any other kingdom. You might be set free from stuff, but you're not set free unto Christ. It ain't freedom. The kingdom of heaven is where we're forgiven for sins and set free from sinful lifestyles. The kingdom of God is where Jesus rules in our hearts and we gladly subject. Listen, kingdoms are about king and subjects. And if we're going to be a subject of this kingdom, then we gladly, with joy, sell all to subject ourselves to Jesus as great King Jesus who reigns and has authority in every part of our lives. Listen, sin should not captivate subjects of the kingdom of heaven. Because the King of eternity wants to live in us. The kingdom of God is where he sets the rules. He lives in us and he sets us in a way where we can honor, reflect, and be useful unto him. The kingdom of God is built first on our relationship with him, and it's cultivated in our relationship with others. We are family within this kingdom. We are not slaves, we are sons. That's the thing with this kingdom. This is not a kingdom of pressure. It's a kingdom that's precious. It's a kingdom of joy. It's a kingdom of excitement. It's not only eternal afterlife, but it's eternal living in this life. Paul said it like this: when you see me, you should see a guy who lives for this King Jesus. For me to live this life is to live for Christ, and to die from this life is to be with Christ. Come on, that's a kingdom forever perspective. Let me tell you something about the kingdom of heaven. It is a monarchy, not a democracy. Now, Americans hate monarchies. That's why we started this country. Go read our Declaration of Independence. It's real regal at first. All these things. And then we're like, oh, yeah, and King George is a dirtbag, and I can't believe what a creep he is. I mean, by the second half of the Constitution, we're like, somebody lost their mind on the backside of that writing. They're just venting. They're tweeting. That's where bad tweets started, the back end. Is that sacrilegious to say the back end of the Constitution and the back end? Let's stay focused here, people. I'm not dissing anybody. The kingdom of God is not a monarchy, not a democracy. You and I don't get a vote. Let me tell you something. No matter what church background you have, where you think you have the right to boss around Jesus in Jesus' name, where you think you have the right to boss around his way and his will, that ain't the way of the kingdom of heaven. You think Jesus was concerned about what people thought about him? I mean, they would get so aggressive with Jesus at times and so pressured on him, they try to push him off a cliff one time, and he Jedi mind tricks them all and just walks right through the crowd. It's like, I don't care about none of y'all suckers. Get off me, devil. Kingdom of heaven is not a democracy. You and I don't get a vote. We get to, with joy, sell all to serve him. It is a pleasure. Luke 17, Jesus gives this analogy. He said, who of you who has a servant doing their job, when it's time to eat, has them come in and say, wash up and eat with me. Do you not just continue to ask them to serve you, right? That's their job, to serve you. And he says, how much more, as you are the servant of Almighty God, when you've been spent at the pleasure of the master, you also should say, Lord, I have done my duty. It is my privilege to serve you. What a joy to serve Jesus. The kingdom of God is a monarchy, not a democracy. We don't run the kingdom of heaven by Robert's rules. This ain't some annual church meeting with Christians around the world. Jesus reigns in his kingdom, not me, not you. And as a church, we're trying to align more and more with the kingdom of God, where Christians disciple other Christians. That's a small groups plug. You can thank me later. Look how he describes this kingdom, though. It's like a treasure. It's more valuable than anything. It's greater than any place, than any way of life, any other message, anything you value. This is a massive treasure, and it's not just out in the open for everyone. Notice it's hidden. Now, I found that really interesting because I'm like, I don't like that this treasure is hidden. But here's where it's hidden. The kingdom of heaven, listen to me, is hidden in Christ. That's the field. The question is, have you bought that field yet? Have you said yes to Jesus? And here's the deal. That field's available to everyone. This field is not exclusive to those only who are pre-selected, predetermined, pre-elect, whatever. It's open for everybody. Can buy this field. Everybody can have this field. And here's the person who gives you the money to pay for the field. Jesus paid the price for you to have the field and have the treasure of the kingdom of God. It's yours to take. Man, I get so fired up thinking about the kingdom of God. Ha! It is the way of life. Some of us are living like we want the kingdom after we die, but I want to challenge you to be kingdom of heaven people now. Give like you're a kingdom of heaven person. Give like Jesus reigns your bank account. Serve like God is the Lord of your schedule. Well, I don't have time to get on a dream team, Pastor. Bless God, I'm so busy with work right now. Hallelujah. The Lord's blessing, amen. Well, if you want to keep that blessing on your life, you better do what God calls you to do and serve other people. If you want to keep that blessing on your life, you better give like God's called you to give, because in his kingdom, we give 10% and then some. I didn't set the rules of God's kingdom. Some of you are like, these rules are really harsh. These aren't rules. With joy, I sell out to serve his kingdom. All right, I'm going to get to preaching now. I ain't even started yet. I believe that should be the treasure of our whole hearts, the kingdom of heaven. So here's the thing. The kingdom of God is worth our sellout. Man, sellout's become such a negative word. You're such a sellout. You sold out your people. You sold out your race. You sold out your family. You sold out all men of all time, all women of all time. You're such a sellout. I am gladly sold out to Jesus. I remember when I gave my life to Christ, the night I said yes to Jesus, it was not an addition to my life. It was a replacement for the life I lived. And I just knew like, God, you, and I just prayed it last Sunday, standing down there during our service. I remember during worship, I just prayed it again. I said, God, you can have every part of my life all over again. Whatever you want, it's yours. I don't belong to me, I belong to you. You can have every part of me, Lord. I'm all yours. That is the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. I'm telling you, everybody wants the kingdom of heaven, but not everybody wants to sell out for it. We all want heaven when we die, but we sure want to live like hell today. The kingdom is worth the sellout. The kingdom's worth giving your life away so that Christ would be seen in you. He's telling us the kingdom is so valuable. Nothing else in this world can hold a candle to it. Like my grandfather, just knowing of those mineral rights, knowing there's something buried there. And he's like, it's worth it. It's worth the investment. It's worth the expense. It's worth liquidating the accounts to buy that field, to buy those rights. And how much more is it worth going all in with Jesus? It's totally worth the trade. I truly believe this is the biggest struggle for many of us with Christianity. We want the kingdom of God in our lives. We just don't want it to cost us anything. Did I tell you I was going to preach hard today? Did I tell you I was going to offend you today? If you're offended, just wave your hand. Come on now. Liars. I know it's offending me. I preached this to my wife. She said, don't bring me that mess. No, she didn't say it. I'm just kidding. She's sold out. Whatever. We want the kingdom of God in our lives. We just don't want it to cost anything. But Jesus is showing us in this parable, the kingdom is so valuable, with joy we should sell everything we have. Here's what that means. Here's what that means. You ready? Nothing in this world, in these kingdoms, in this way of life, should ever compare to the riches of knowing Christ and living your life for him. Nothing. Listen, not your favorite sports team, not your favorite politician, not your ideal view of this nation, not your race, not your sexual orientation, not your sin, not your money, not your savings accounts. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Isn't that a song? Nothing should come before King Jesus. Nothing. Maybe he's asking some of you to sell it all and go do something extravagant for him. But the bigger question is, would you sell it all? Would you give it all? Would you gladly subject everything in your life? You know what that does for us? It allows us to live with joy and a confidence in the craziness of the world we live in. We're living under pressure in the physical, in the political, in the racial and societal, and in the financial right now. We're living in pressure in four kingdoms: racial, political, physical, and financial. And let me tell you something. All of those things may crumble and fall around us, but I belong to King Jesus. Now, I care about all of those things, but not more than I care about King Jesus. Those things I have an opinion about, a correct opinion about, all of those things. But none of those matter compared to the great, glorious riches of knowing King Jesus. Nothing. I don't care who's president. Can I just remind you that 250 years of presidents have not healed our nation? Only King Jesus will heal our nation. Can I remind you that 250 years of a national experiment called America and the stock market and financial ups and downs have not healed our nation financially? Can I just remind you that the CDC and all of the health companies, and from naturalists to scientists and lab coats, all everywhere in between, hundreds and hundreds of years of pharmaceutical sales and industry and naturalism, nothing has healed us forever, nothing. So can we just elevate King Jesus and his kingdom a little bit more? Because in all the areas of pressure, I mean, think about this. From the beginning of time, we've had angst with one another. The first sons of Adam and Eve had murder. Can I tell you, like, us sons and daughters of Adam will have contention and racial pressure and sexism and class warfare. And until we say yes to Jesus, we'll never see each other equally. Never. We need to raise up the level of King Jesus. We need to gladly sell out all that we had. Look at what he says. With great joy, he went and sold everything. And here's what selling out means. None of that stuff is going to capture my heart anymore. Can I tell you one of the greatest free things that I've done this season? I've stopped watching the national news. hey, look, I survived. I made it. I'll call my mom sometimes, and I know she's watching the service. I told her I was telling about Papa. She said, I'll watch your service. She watches a lot anyway. Hey, Mom. And sometimes when I call her, I'll hear the news on in the background. I'm like, Mom, turn that off. Well, I just got to keep up. I got to know what's going on. I promise you, this world will go on whether or not you're informed. And some of us need to gladly sell that out. I miss the days of just reporting without commentary. There's a fire downtown. Next story. There's a fire downtown, and I know who did it. You know, like, shut up. I don't need your commentary. Okay. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 6:21. I got to finish the sermon. He said, where your treasure is where your heart will be. I want to ask you, where's your heart? That reveals your treasure. Is your heart this kingdom? Are you more stirred for what's happening around our world today than you are stirred for Jesus? Are you more vocal and verbal online and in company with others? I mean, constantly I'm walking into crowds or coming up to people and, hey, what's going on? And they just want to talk about this kingdom. Well, you know what they're saying now about schools. Well, you know, bless God, what they're saying about CDC and this new thing came out. And I'm just like, have you heard of the gospel? There's joy there. And I know you're thinking, well, pastor, that's easy for you. You know, this is your job. That's where you make your living. This is the kingdom of Christians. By the way, I'm a Christian. I was a Christian before I became a pastor. I told people about Jesus before I got hired to do it. This is our lane. We're kingdom people. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. I want you to evaluate what you actually love and realize that that could be your king. But I'm telling you, nothing should replace the devotion to King Jesus, Lord of Lords, Master and Savior of everything. So finally then, what kingdom have you sold out to? Honestly, think about it. What kingdom have you sold out to? And here's how you reflect on that. What are you giving all your attention to? What are you giving all your passion to? What are you standing for? What are you rioting over? What are you investing in? What are you propagating all the time? What kingdom? Is it some form of the kingdoms of earth? Or is it the kingdom of heaven? I decided years ago that my social media, for example, will only be used to promote the kingdom of heaven. Now, I am tempted as much as anybody to get on there and correct every crazy thing online. But it is not my objective to correct other kingdoms. It's my objective to promote one kingdom. You got to hear what I just said there. It should not be our objective to correct every kingdom. It should be our objective to promote one kingdom. Gary Thomas, in his new book, When to Walk Away, what an amazing book. He says, I want to spend it for every negative comment that I get. He's a writer and author and a Bible teacher. And he was getting in the weeds of critics on stuff that he had written and posted and things like that. And he got in the weeds of defending things that he was saying. He said, I've just decided, rather than spend 1 minute defending that nonsense, I would rather spend 5 minutes uplifting the kingdom of heaven. Can we just promote the kingdom of God? Can we really be about the gospel? Come on, church, I'm preaching better than you're shouting right now. I'm talking about, like, will we sell out to Jesus for real? Will we sell out to say, you know what? No matter what happens in this kingdom, and some of you serve, all of us live in this kingdom, all of us serve in this, all of us got bank accounts, and all of us got gas at the gas station. I'm not saying you just go live in a commune somewhere and just try to float to heaven one day. I'm saying live like heaven citizens in the midst of this kingdom. What kingdom is your affections? Is it the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Jesus? Is your heart more stirred towards the kingdom of nation or kingdom of politics or kingdom of race or kingdom of money, kingdom of success? Is it the kingdom of your sin and your identity? What kingdom do you believe has your heart? Jesus said in Matthew 6, no one, everybody say no one, can serve two masters. Jesus doesn't share his throne with anybody, by the way. He's not a part-time lover. Sorry, Stevie Wonder. No one can serve two masters. He'll love one and despise the other. That's the way it works. It's like having two spouses. It don't work. You'll hate the one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve. In this instance, he's talking about God and money. But I'm telling you, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two kingdoms. You can't align yourself faithfully and fully to two kingdoms. You got to choose. Which kingdom will you sell out to? I'm discipling a couple men right now. And as we're talking and we ask these questions about what's going on in their lives, some areas of sin, some areas of compromise, I ask this question very simply: who is your God? It's a question that I've begun wrestling with myself. And then I ask, when you're making these decisions, who's your God? Is it Jesus or is it your libido? Is it Jesus or is it you? Is it Jesus or your baggage? Is it Jesus or your wounds of your dad? Who's your God? And I said, every once in a while, I'm just going to text you that question out of nowhere. So it'll be like 2 weeks, and I just rando text, who is your God? ? And it's like this haunting moment, you know. One of them told me, oh, my Lord, you don't even know what's about to happen. I'm mad at you for texting, but I needed it. Thank you, Jesus. About to walk into some crazy sin. Does God's word have a place in your life? Does his spirit rule in your heart? Is the kingdom of God, where he is king and you're subjected, is that your reality? This is the part of the message that I've been struggling with and dwelling on as we've prepared. See, I really understand the gospel. In the gospel, if you catch the heart of Jesus, it's an all-in proposition. He says in Luke, and in Matthew, he says, unless you love me first and hate everything else second, love everything second to me, you're not really my disciple. That is a hard word. I preached that last summer, and Jesus said, what? Serious? I don't know if y'all remember that. But he said, if you're going to love me, you got to hate everything else. But man, we just love to like Jesus and love everything else, don't we? It's not a 50-50, 60-40, 70-30, 99 or 1. It's an all-in towards the heart of God. Are you all in, fully surrendered, devoted to Jesus? My concern is many of us either won't sell out to the whole kingdom, or we want the kingdom of heaven, but we've also sold out to other kingdoms. And we're living life in the middle. Christians don't like this type of talk because we don't hear it enough. We don't want to talk about the cost of discipleship. We don't want it to cost us anything. We want it to cost Jesus everything and the preacher everything, but not me, by God. We sold out to wrong kingdoms. I have a pastor friend I want to share with you. He finished a message 2 weeks ago, and this is where we'll close. He finished a message 2 weeks ago with his church in Los Angeles, Shepherd Church in Los Angeles. My friend is Pastor Dudley Rutherford, and he shared this clip. And they're still meeting virtually, and he's just watching kind of the degradation of our society and our culture, especially in the church space, because that's where we're called to as pastors, right, to help our people move forward in their devotion to Jesus. So he shares this closing thought in his message, and he's setting up, are we kingdom of heaven or kingdom of this world? I want you to watch this, and then we'll close and pray together. Check this out.
As we close, I just want to tell you my greatest worry. This is my greatest worry with what's going on in our world today with COVID-19 and with the civil unrest and with all the schools being closed and with people worried about who's wearing a mask and who's not wearing a mask. You know what my greatest worry is? My greatest worry is that people seem to be more concerned about the physical than the spiritual. Some of you are more concerned about President Trump's tweets than you are about what God's word says. Some of us are more concerned with what the CDC says than the Bible says. Some of you are more concerned about catching a virus called COVID that can destroy you physically than you are concerned about another virus called sin that can destroy you spiritually and eternally. Some of you are more concerned about keeping people out of the ICU than you are about keeping people out of the HELL. We're more concerned about a power outage of Time Warner during a Laker game than we are about the power of Almighty God going out and being removed from our lives. We're more concerned about being politically correct than we are about being biblically correct. We're more concerned about gaining followers on Instagram than we are about Jesus gaining followers in a heavenly land. We're more concerned about what the governor says than what the Spirit of God says. We're more concerned about this life than we are the next life. We're more concerned about laying treasures up in this world than we are laying up treasures in the next world. We are more concerned about asking people, are you a Republican or a Democrat, than we care about asking people, are you saved or are you lost? We're more concerned about if a stranger's face is covered or not covered with a paper mask than we are concerned that if a stranger's heart is covered by the blood of Jesus. While we are more concerned in this country about what Dr. Fauci says than we are concerned about what Jesus Christ says. I want you to think for a moment. Be honest here today. How much time, how much energy, how much worry, how much of your thought capacity have you spent the last 5 months worried about COVID-19? Versus how much time and how much energy and how much worry and how much of your thought capacity have your thoughts been about your eternal destiny?
Wow. What kingdom have you sold out to? I'm so stirred by that clip. I've watched it like 6 times. Pastor Dudley's become a great friend and a guy that I admire deeply, listen to regularly. But I'm telling you, we have to decide. The invitation is clear. The field is available for purchase. It's already been purchased for you. We got to decide if we're going to buy this field and be a part of this treasure of the kingdom of heaven. So here's where we go from here. First of all, if you've spent more time in the kingdom of this world at any measure, repent. Repentance is not payback. I didn't say repay. I didn't say fix it. I just said repent. Turn your mind towards Jesus. Repentance is a shift. It's a 180-degree turn towards the Lord. It's leaving that life and going into eternal life. Repent, number two, confess your sin and surrender to Jesus. Surrender every part of yourself to Jesus. And third, I want you to do this life with others. I want you in a group. Quit thinking about it. I know you're thinking, well, here he goes again on group life. All the disciples left their life and joined the disciples. All the New Testament characters left those lives and joined the New Testament family. And this is part of where we grow this out. This is part of the kingdom of heaven, that we belong to one another. So repent, surrender, and commit yourself to the body of Christ. Can I hear a big amen, everybody? Father, we need you more now than ever. God, this kingdom of this world seems to be falling apart in so many ways. But God, we know the kingdom of God will last forever, that the King of Kings is never taken off his throne. And we know, Lord God, that your rule and your reign is welcomed and available in our hearts. Today, Lord God, come on, everybody, open your hands to the Lord. God, we repent. We repent of dwelling in the wrong kingdoms. We repent of loving the wrong kings. We repent of worshiping the wrong idols. God, we repent, we repent, we repent. We turn to Jesus today. We say no to the world. We say yes to the kingdom of God. And Lord, we surrender all. Come on, say, I surrender all. I surrender all. Say, just as I am, I come to you. I surrender all. I'm all in. I'm all yours. To God be the glory. And Lord, we commit today that we will live in a way that honors and pleases and serves you moving forward. Thank you, Lord, that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field that we have found. And today, Lord God, we receive the purchase price of Jesus Christ. And we receive that this field and this treasure has been purchased for us, and we accept it freely. God, we receive it, we surrender to it, and we with joy will live as people of the kingdom of heaven forever, 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 in Jesus' name. Come on, in Jesus' name. If you believe it today, would you shout glory to God? Come on, give the Lord praise today. Amen.